Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, welcome to Faith Community Church. It is great to have everyone here. And you look really good. We look really good tonight. Everybody just look at your neighbor and say, you look really good. You sound really good tonight, too. If this is one of your very first times at Faith Community Church, we always look this good. Okay? It is great to have everyone here and everyone that's joining us online tonight. Welcome to you as well. We are missing you tonight, but hope that you and your families are doing well. Just a heads up, if you are watching online, we're going to close our time together singing Silent Night with candles. I think Tim Porter already mentioned that, but you should get ready, okay? Grab enough candles so everyone in the house has one and get ready to turn off all the lights and things. It's just a great way to end a Christmas Eve service together. Well, we are going to continue, actually, a conversation that we've been having for kind of a month. And it's okay if you've not been here in the last month. You can jump right in. I hope you'll be able to track along with us. Well, I do need to acknowledge, too, we got a bunch of kids in the room today. Kids, welcome to you. You're going to do awesome. We're going to use a bunch of big words tonight, and you're going to track. It's going to be great. If you're a kid, and you can come up and tell me one thing I said tonight, you get 50 points. Okay? So, pay attention. Our theme tonight and actually for the last month has been coming in from the cold, finding faith in a cynical world. And we've been talking about the wrestle that all of us experience living with this almost universal intuition that there is more to the world, more to life than what we can see and touch and feel and measure with a microscope and things like that. And the deep cynicism that we live around with regard to faith. Sometimes it feels like you almost need permission to believe. And if we've accomplished anything in the last month, and if we accomplish anything tonight, I would love for you to leave with the sense that it's not irrational to believe. That faith is a wise and a good and a proper way to live in the world that God has created. And what we mean by coming in from the cold is that if you strip transcendent meaning out of the world and you're just a clump of cells and I'm just a clump of cells and we're all going to do whatever it takes to get by, the world is going to get to be a pretty cold place for you to live in. Because beauty and wonder and awe and goodness and justice and love and all these things that make life worth living, if you strip transcendent meaning out, they're just chemical phenomena. And we're just molecules all bumping into one another. And it's natural that cynicism, a deep, deep cynicism would follow. Because it just comes down to survival of the fittest. Now, since that is how our world looks at things now, for it to work, there's this whole part of your humanity that you kind of have to put to sleep, or what's much more common and what most people are doing, I think, is saying to themselves, well, I'm going to create my own meaning then. And what we wind up with is a mix of Santa Claus and a genie out of the bottle and a divine therapist or something, and everyone's just kind of creating their own God. And it works for a while, but eventually, you know, our gods are too fragile to handle our real lives. And what we've been looking at this month are the Christmas stories in the Gospel of Luke. And what he presents us with is a very different picture of the world, one in which beauty and awe and love actually are real things, things that we were made for, things that we can grow up into, and actually that everything around us, including ourselves, were created for awe and wonder. We're not really even fully human until we're experiencing awe and wonder. Tonight, we're going to talk about how God calls us in out of the cold. And to begin, I want to share a story with you about someone that I think God is wrestling with and calling right now. And I want you to hear about the way that God is calling him and how he's dealing with it. If you were here last week, I mentioned a podcast that I'd listened to with one of the world's most famous psychologists. He's not a follower of Jesus, but over the last several years, he's very publicly been wrestling with questions of faith. And this particular podcast was an interview with an archbishop, a philosopher, a fourth guy. I couldn't figure out, who he is or what he was doing, but it sounds like the start to a really good joke, right? A philosopher, an archbishop, and a psychiatrist walk into a bar and they have this conversation. And he is, I think, an excellent example of a sincere seeker of truth. And the reason I wanted to share this story with you is because when I listen to him wrestling, I just think, oh, I wish that all of us were this earnest and sincere in seeking after the truth. Now, one of his starting assumptions, because he's a psychiatrist, is that everything in the world has to have a physical or biological explanation. And he's struggling because he is running into things that simply don't have a physical or biological explanation, and he's wrestling. And in the podcast, they're talking about psychology and religious belief and the biological foundations of supernatural experiences. And they're quoting, Carl Jung and all these other different people. Kids, how you doing? You tracking? You having a good time? Yeah, here we go. Last big thing. They're talking about something called objective reality. Okay, this is the physical world that we can see, touch, measure, and all that. And then they're using a phrase called narrative reality, meaning there's some sense in all of us that we're part of this story. We don't maybe even know what it is, but there's a sense that there is more than what we can see. And then they begin talking about Jesus and how in Jesus, these two things have come together. And here's the quote. He says, "The problem is that I probably believe that. But I am amazed at my own belief, and I don't understand it." And here he actually begins to get emotional. He actually begins to kind of cry on the podcast. He can barely speak, but he says, because I've seen sometimes the objective world and the narrative world touch. I've seen it so many times in my own life, and so in some sense, I believe it's undeniable. We have a spiritual sense of the world. It's real. I've seen the objective world and the spiritual world touch. And the ultimate example of this, I suppose, is Christ. But I don't know what to do with that. It seems to me oddly plausible. But I still don't know what to make of it. Partly because it's too terrifying to fully believe. I don't even know what would happen to you if you fully believed it. That's the end of the quote. I don't know what to make of it. It's too terrifying a reality to fully believe. I don't even know what would happen to you if you fully believed it. It's an amazing thing. Do you hear the wrestle that we're talking about? With being caught in a world that is so cynical about faith and yet having this intuition that there must be more. There is something more out there. And tonight we're going to read the story of the shepherds of Bethlehem. And we're going to see how God literally calls them in from the cold. That's actually, the shepherds were the inspiration for this whole theme and title and things like that. We're going to read the story and we're going to talk about what we're called into, who's called in, and then a few reasons people stay outside. Okay, you ready? Everybody say, I'm ready. All right, our scripture reading tonight is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It will be on the screens for you, but if you want to follow along, we'll be on page 856 in the Bibles under the chairs in front of you. And here it is, our last Christmas story together. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, what is it that we are called and invited into? The glory of the Lord, which shone around these shepherds, is a reference to his weightiness, his radiance, his splendor, his majesty. There are probably 10 more words I could use, but his awesomeness. A majestic person is someone whose presence you feel even before you see them. Like, no one messes around in the presence of a king, right? Because you feel the weightiness of his presence. The glory of the Lord is an awesome, humbling thing to experience. Also, I don't know how many a multitude of angels is, but it's a bunch. And if the voice of one angel is like the roar of rushing water, how much is a multitude of angelic voices? Aside from descriptions of heaven itself, I'm not aware of any other place in the Bible where we get to see this kind of thing. I could be wrong, by the way. I'm open to being corrected. But God has obviously pulled out all the stops for this birth announcement. And this is what we're called into. When we talk about being called in from the cold, what we're talking about is an invitation to draw near through Jesus to the glory and presence and awesomeness of God. I think one of the reasons that people stay out in the dark is because they're just not super impressed. They hear phrases like the glory of God or glory to God in the highest, and they yawn. Oh, what's for dinner? What's on Netflix tonight? But the professor is right. This is a terrifying thing to believe. Luke says that he's passing along to us eyewitness accounts of things that really did happen. Think about this. This is the kind of universe the Bible says you live in right now, where just beyond your sight are terrifying realities, glorious realities, awesome realities. The Christmas stories are awesome, amazing things to comprehend and behold. And this is what the Bible goes on to say, that in Jesus, we get to participate in. Actually, that those who are trusting him will be clothed or robed somehow in this kind of splendor and glory. It's an awesome thought. So who gets invited in? Well, shepherds. Shepherds get invited in. Now, God could have dispatched this angelic choir to Rome or to Athens or to Jerusalem or someplace else, but he is always teaching, and what is he teaching here? Now, shepherding is one of the oldest occupations in the world. It has a very long, storied history in the Bible. Some of the Bible's most wonderful, famous people were shepherds, but by the first century, shepherding is not an occupation that you would aspire to. It was lonely, it was dirty, it was dangerous. Shepherds were kind of on the bottom rung of the social ladder. Everything below shepherds was illegal, okay? So if you're a shepherd, you're kind of at the bottom. No one, you know, if your daughter brought home a shepherd, you would probably pull her aside and say, sweetheart, have you really thought this through? And where's this headed? You know what I mean? No one asks shepherds what they think. No one polls shepherds to get the pulse of the people. They have no power with which to compel people to believe. They don't make any claim to being clever. They have no religious pedigree. And yet here they are. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And this is what they say. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? Everybody? All the people. All the people. The glory of God and the joy and the wonder that are on display for the shepherds is available to all the people. If God had sent this to some powerful people or to some smart people or to some beautiful people or some clever people or some pure people or some successful people or whatever it is, we might be tempted to think that the message is that this is good news for those kinds of people. But shepherds are everybody. Shepherds are every man. And they have the one thing that is needed to come in from the cold. And that is a readiness to hear and to respond. And that's all that's needed. And the reason that they get to come in is because of who they're called to. He says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Anyone can come if you need a Savior. If you're good, why would you bother, I guess, would be the question. But anyone who knows they need a Savior, all that's needed is for you to come in. We have another story we want to share from our congregation here at Faith Community Church about a woman who was called in from the cold to the Lord Jesus. I think you're going to hear some similar themes. I also want you to listen, because in her story you're going to hear about her father who would not come in. And I want you to hear why. And then I'm going to come back and we're just going to talk a little more about why I think people stay in the dark. Anyway, all right, let's roll that video.
My name is Natalie. My husband, Dean, and I live here in River Falls, and we started going to FCC about 2 years ago. I moved to the United States about 20 years ago. I was born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And I studied until about 18 years old in Brazil. And then after that, I went to France to live with my grandma and study dance and to become a dancer in a professional way. My parents were French and they emigrated to Brazil to start a business. My father, he went to a Catholic school in France. His parents, they really believed that his education at the Catholic school would be very beneficial to him. He did not like his school because he thought that the people were very harsh and he had a lot of questions that were unanswered there. So when he had me and my sister, after I was in my school for a couple of years, I asked my father, I says, can I go to the school? And he said no, that he would never send me to a Catholic school, so never got opportunity. Even as a young child, I was looking for something more to life than just 14th floor of an apartment building and going to a school that didn't teach anything that had to do with spirituality. You know, even at 10 and 12 years old, I could feel a sense of need for that. And that was at the same time as my parents were getting divorced. And that's why I think that need came in, because I was feeling really sad about the fact that my parents were getting divorced. My mother, she called me and my sister to a bedroom and she said, your father is leaving. And I think that was the saddest moment, because I didn't do anything to deserve that my father is going to abandon me. It was a moment where you feel God is the only person that could heal this. And I could see that they didn't have God in their lives. When I would go to school, I would walk to the bus, and I would have to go through a church to get to my school bus. When I went in the church, it was totally on my own, alone, and it was a beautiful Catholic church, you know, and you felt God's presence there. I would go in the church sometimes, just say, you know, God, please bring my family together. Because I felt sad that they were getting divorced. I felt like God was already speaking to me, you know. But I was too young, really, to push it, you know. You can't say to your dad, well, I'm going to go to church now. Even though I had a feel for I want to be with God, it was only in my mind. I didn't pursue it physically. I didn't go to church. I married a gentleman in 1978 that was not a Christian, but same thing happened. He left 25 years into our marriage. I became a Christian after I married Dean. He said to me, come to church, and we went together, and I loved it. When Dean and I would go, it was just so freeing, and it brought his love into my life, into Dean's life. It just transformed everything. I would hear from the pastor say all the time, anybody who wants to be baptized can be baptized as an adult. If you don't believe what God is saying to you to do, then you will be alone the rest of your life. None of us are meant to walk this life alone. And God is always there telling you. And we have to hear it. We see it in the words, but we also have to hear from him. But God is with you all of the time. I think the most important thing that I would like to happen is that my children know that he's in the midst of it all. And don't give up. Keep searching for him. He will be there for you. My father was a very intelligent man, and he asked a lot of questions, and they were not able to answer his questions. And I think he became bitter, and he became cynical with religion. He didn't want us to go through that experience. I think in modern society, there is opportunities for us to ask questions and to find God in a different way than being told this is what you have to do because God said so. When we were at Lake Phelan, when I walked into the water and there were two pastors side by side to me, and they asked me, do you want this to be your life? And I said, yes, I do. And then when they dunked me and came out, it was, this is what I've been waiting for this whole time. And I said, finally, I can be free to do this without hiding it from anybody. I'm free to believe in this God that's always been there.
One of the things that we recognize is that the way that people come in from the cold and the reasons that people say yes to Jesus are as unique as each person. And if you were to ask 100 different people here at Faith Community Church about their story and why it is that they came in from the cold and how they came to say yes to Jesus, you'd hear 100 different ways and 100 different stories. But I want to speak briefly to just a few reasons that I think people choose to stay in the cold. Some of them you heard in the video just now. One of those is that we have questions. Jesus comes with a lot of questions. And we need opportunity and space to ask those. If you are visiting tonight, if you came with a friend or your parents dragged you or something like that, what I would want you to know about where you're at tonight is that I hope you would encounter here at Faith Community Church an appropriate level of urgency about you finding answers to those questions, because they are so important. And I hope that you would encounter here also a lot of grace and a lot of time. We still have questions here. We are still wrestling with questions, and we've been where you are. And someone else gave us the time. And so I hope that you would encounter that from us as well. But just know, we've been seeing this all month, and we see it again in our story today. There are some questions that cannot be answered from the outside. And there are a lot of things about Jesus that you just won't know until you come in from the cold. The shepherds head into Bethlehem, wondering and afraid. It isn't until they've seen the Lord that they leave glorifying and praising God. We've seen that all month. Now, just so you know, we're going to be getting, we'll be starting a new Christianity Explored class in January, and you are invited. Christianity Explored will be led by Pastor Tim Porter, who you've already met here, and it is an opportunity for you to come and ask any question that you want. Nothing's out of bounds, and to get a good answer. I also need to let you know that we opened registration up last week, and it is almost full, okay? So beat your neighbor to it and get yourself registered. But when you go to fcchudson.com to register, if it's full, there will be a little button there to put you on a wait list for our next class, which will be in April, okay? And if you let us know you're interested, we're not just going to, like, ghost you until April. Someone will follow up with you and just find, you know, what are you thinking about? What are you wrestling with? And so on and so forth. But every character that we've looked at in these Christmas stories has had questions. But there is a world of difference between an honest, sincere quest for the truth and an intellectual objection that is born out of a desire to remain in control of your life, to look good in the world, and to appear clever. There's a, you know, there's a distance and sophistication that comes with being a cynical person. That's part of why it's so attractive. It kind of separates us from the rest of humanity, all those people who seem to need religion. Unlike the, you know, the silly trilobites living around us, we've found a way to cope with reality without fairy tales about gods who break in through the sky and so on and so forth. And we would rather appear wise out in the dark than to kneel in the light. Just so you would know, this was me. Before I came to Jesus, I wanted very much to appear smart. But no one taught the shepherds that. No one told the shepherds that it's better to be clever than wise, and so they come in. Another reason I think that people stay in the dark, and you heard this in the story as well, is that not all intellectual cynicism is rooted in pride. Some of it is rooted in pain. And we've heard this again and again throughout the last month, and we hear it in Natalie's father's story. People head down the path of cynicism because they've been hurt. And cynicism is one way that we protect ourselves in an increasingly harsh world. A jaded outlook will make you hard and keep you from being wounded. I don't know if you've seen the new Spider-Man movie. Anybody seen the new Spider-Man movie? Okay, spoiler alert, they all die in the end. But anyway, if you've seen it, there's a character in the story that I think speaks for a lot of us. And she says, if you expect a disappointment, you'll never be disappointed. That could be the mantra for Gen Z. If you expect disappointment, you will never be disappointed. I can imagine a group of Americans, you know, especially younger Americans, sitting out in the field that night, and even after this awesome display of power and glory, saying to their peers, don't do it. Don't go running into town. There's not going to be anything there. This is just another joke that God is playing on us. If you want to look like an idiot, go ahead. You want to get your heart broke, go on in. But I'm staying out here. And what's a baby in a manger going to do anyway? What's he going to change? How's he going to help? And I understand. I understand the anger and the heartache and why people get jaded. But the shepherds don't leave Bethlehem any richer. They don't leave any better off. The world isn't any kinder to them. They don't have any more power than when they went in. To all appearances, nothing about the world has changed, but they leave radically changed. And it would be worth reflecting on why that is. Because that kind of change is what you and the world need. The world's problems, your problems, are more complicated than simple fixes. Mantras and slogans and movements and better psychology and better education and better this or better that, it's too complicated for that, and that is why we've been given a baby. Because there's something there in the wisdom of God that is over our heads, but it has literally changed the face of the world. And that is worth reflecting on. Last reason, there's like three more, but we just have time for one more. Last reason I'll share about why I think people stay in the dark is because some people feel they're not fit for the light. The thought of drawing near to a Savior who is Christ the Lord brings shame and fear. And they say to themselves that this all people, all the people in verse 10, does not mean people who've done the things that I've done. It does not mean people who've seen the things that I've seen or experienced the things that I've experienced. All the people does not mean people who have had things done to them like I've had done to me. And so they stay in the dark. If the angels had come and announced, "Behold, unto you has in the city of Jerusalem has appeared a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a king robed in majesty and girt with honor and power, seated on his throne." I don't think the shepherds would have gone in. But that is not what God has done. And that is not who God is. And he has come the way that he's come so that all the people would know that they can come if they would just be willing. The manger and the cross are open to any who would hear and believe and come in from the cold. And God invites you in. We began tonight with the story of a professor who is wrestling with what it would do to him, what it would mean for him to really believe that the world we cannot see and the world that we can see have finally and fully come together in Jesus Christ. And he says, "I don't know what to do with that. It is too terrifying to fully believe. What would happen if you fully believed it?" And at least part of the answer is here. The shepherds left in awe, glorifying and praising God. We heard it in Natalie's story. They asked her, "Is this really what you want your life to be?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "I was finally free." Those are just a few of the things that would happen if you really believed this. But we must decide, will we believe what God has said? Or are we going to keep trusting our own wisdom and hiding in the cold? I'm going to invite you to consider that as we sing together tonight. And let's pray. While the team comes up, let's pray and just commit ourselves again to the Lord tonight and give thanks. Our Father in heaven, I thank you again for the story of Christmas and the awesome display of your glory, which is for us. And we ask tonight that you would graciously give the gift of faith, and that you would call, as only you know how, that you would call. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. Let's stand and sing together.